over the last few weeks, my mind keeps going back to some of the topics that I presented over the last few weeks for these last few Shabbats. So today's message might be considered sort of a last part of, I guess I have to say, an unintentional series. I didn't mean to make it a series, but I found each week that I was dealing with subjects that sort of connected with the Shabbat the week before. So that's why I say it's sort of unintentional for that. For everyone that would like to find fault in any of my messages, I'm going to say this right up front, because maybe, I certainly know in the room here, there's never anyone that might find any fault with my messages. However, now that we're back online, we have all of our messages up on the website again. You know, we were knocked out for about 2 months because we were having problems with the website. Well, now all my back messages are on there again. So every week we are putting the messages on the website. So for maybe for people that are out there listening to my messages, might I say, if you want to find fault in my messages out there, today might be the day, because, and well, let me tell you why. Because today's topic is unscriptural. Now, the thing is, should we talk about things that are unscriptural? Unscriptural? Yeah, we should stick to scripture. But the thing is, I say today is, if you're really digging to find a problem with my message today, and you're really trying to find a problem, then you might sort of zero in on the fact that what my topic is unscriptural. And I say it's unscriptural, but it is scripturally relevant in every way. So let me say that. So the word is, and the title of my message is this morning, and the key word is focus. And I say that because focus does not appear anywhere in the Bible. And I was really surprised to find out that when you do a word search, the word focus is not there. However, the practice or encouragement to focus is certainly there in the scriptures. God wants us to focus. And focus is a very important thing, and it's a very important topic. And so as believers, especially in today's world, we must keep focus. Yet, not to be focused with blinders on, we must be aware of what's going on around us. We must be able to deal with things and people and situations around us. But there must be a certain amount of focus in our lives on a spiritual level. Because the reality is, it's Satan that tries to throw our focus off. That is really his job. When we're trying to focus on the Lord, when we're trying to focus on God, when we're trying to focus on Messiah, the enemy wants us to be scattered with our focus, scattered to the point where we are not going to keep moving in the direction of what God wants us to do. So he tries to throw our focus off. He tries to confuse us. He tries to disrupt our lives. And he tries to divide us, as I talked about in the last few weeks. This is the job, one of the jobs of Satan, because he knows if he is successful with these things, that there will be people that will not continue serving the Lord, living for the Lord, or even believing in Yeshua as Messiah. And so most often, he uses others to do these things. And again, these are some of the things that I talked about in the last few weeks. That's why it's sort of this unintentional series. As I was writing this message this week, the word scattered kept coming into my mind, even though I was thinking about focus, the word scattered was coming into my mind, and I realized, you know, scattered, I guess you can consider it's opposite of focused. When you're being focused is one thing. When your thoughts are being scattered It's a totally opposite thing. And so I kept thinking about that word scattering, and I realized God wants us to do scattering. He wants us to do scattering. He doesn't want our lives to be scattered, but he wants us to do a spiritual scattering, and we've talked about this so often. God wants us to scatter seed. He wants us to plant seed. He wants us to tell the story to people, to our friends and family. And so he wants us to scatter the seed. He wants us to tell Yeshua about he wants us to tell people about Yeshua. He wants us to lay down the foundations of God's spiritual truths. However, we have to also remember the enemy likes to scatter. And so the enemy wants us to have our hearts and our minds scattered. So the thing is, those that have been scattered with God's seeds of truth, because we do the scattering, the Holy Spirit helps us as we do the scattering, and so the enemy wants us to do his scattering, his version of scattering. So we look at this, there's good scattering and there's bad scattering. Let's go to our first scripture this morning, and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that we have the scriptures up there this morning, right? Because last week we had a little bit of a problem there. All right, so Matthew, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Now, this is a parable of Yeshua, and we see the four situations of seed that are scattered. And so, if we look at, we are the scatterers, we scatter the seed with the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we and the seed is being scattered, we see these four conditions that will cause people to react in a certain way. So the ideal situation is that the seed is scattered in good soil. Because if it's scattered in good soil, the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, he endures only for a while. The thing is, good soil, seeds, we look at the physical. In good soil, in soil with nutrition, in soil with moisture, the seed will take root. The roots will start growing and the seeds will start sprouting, and we will have this wonderful, beautiful plant that grows from it. And so that's the ideal situation. Focus is so important for us. We need to be aware of our spiritual surroundings. We need to not be paranoid about what's around us, around every corner, but we need to be aware. Okay? And so again, be aware what's around you, but let's not, you know, there are people in the body of Messiah, they are scared about everything. They're scared about their own shadow. They're scared about their own reflection in a mirror. They're scared about everything going on out there. They're scared about everything. They always have fear in their lives. And even when there's joy in their life, they seem to turn it around and make it a negative thing and turn it into some kind of fear that they have. And so we need to be aware of that. We shouldn't be paranoid about all these things. If we say, you know, as I opened up this morning, the Lord is, you know, God is the joy of our lives. He gives us joy in our lives. Then let's express that joy. And it shouldn't be a fake, phony joy. you know, they're, you know, you meet believers, and they have a, you know, they walk around with a smile on their face all the time, and they talk so, you know, but if something happens in their life, they go bonkers and they go crazy. They go from one extreme to the other. You see, we shouldn't be that. We shouldn't be that as believers. But let's not be paranoid, but be aware and focus and be aware of what's going on around us, and especially in today's world, because the reality is there are plenty of things that we could be paranoid about if we want to, if we let ourselves be. There are plenty of things going out there that we could look at negative and afraid and fearful and be so fearful that we can't even lead our lives the way God wants us to do. That there's so much fear in our lives that we can't serve. It's stopping us from serving the Lord. Focused. Know what's around you, but don't be paranoid about what's around you. There's one path for us to follow. Other paths may, for a moment, seem to be appealing. There are other paths out there, and this is why people will follow the wrong path, because momentarily they don't realize it. It's fleeting. It doesn't bring everlasting joy and goodness or salvation, but it's appealing to the senses. It's exciting to the senses. And the thing is, even if right at that specific time it seems to be exciting and appealing, we need to understand and keep our focus on the fact that there is one path. Only one path. And the scoffers of the world that may not believe in God, or they may not believe in, certainly in Yeshua, or a concept of Messiah, or to believe in an atonement of our sins, one of the things they try to come against us with is, you think it's the only way. It's your way or no other way. You think yours is the answer. Now, the reality is, every religion out there feels that their religion is the only answer. But the reality is, belief in Yeshua is the only answer. That's the reality. Because someone has to be right. Because if everyone's right, then no one's right. If everyone's right that their path is the only way, then no one's right. And if we go to the opposite and we say, every path, and you know, how often I get this opportunity to say this during the year, because we know it's so prevalent out there in the world. Well, every path leads to God. It is true. Every path will lead to God. But God's word says, and then the judgment. We are all going to end up in front of the judge, no matter what your path is. Even if it was a godless path, even if it was an agnostic path, if it was a totally sinful, if you're a mass murderer, or if you're the best person in the world, it doesn't matter. You will all one day stand before the judge. So the truth is, all paths do lead to God, but then the judgment. So they're true, they're right, but they're only sort of half right. And that's the dangerous thing. And so there is this path. And the other path may seem so great at the moment, but we understand there is one path to follow. Proverbs 16:25, we have one short verse here. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. This is, and again, this is in the Tanakh. It's one of the Proverbs. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Now, obviously, this is not talking about if you're on the wrong path, you step into the intersection, you get hit by a truck. That's not the path, the death that Proverbs is talking about. Obviously, it's talking about the eternal death. It's talking about man's eternity. It is about eternal death because we follow the wrong, if we follow the wrong path. When you hear someone beginning a sentence and they say to you, "Well, I think," "Well, I think," that should be a clue. If we have a conversation with people, "Well, I think," it doesn't matter. What does God say? What's God's standard is? It doesn't matter. Well, what I think, because what I think is what seems right to me. What seems right to me. Now, what I think may align with the scriptures. What you think may align with the scriptures, okay. But when we hear people say, "Well, I think," usually what will happen is they'll, you know, people make up their own cafeteria religion. You know, I'll pick a little bit of that, and I'll choose a little bit of that, and I like that, and I like, but I don't like that, I'm going to leave that to the side. So they pick all the good things that they think it should be, and they many times create their own religion or their own views in life. So again, that's our first clue when someone says, "Well, I think." Even if they don't really mean that and they just say it, because if we have an argument or discussion or debate, "Well, this is what I think." Okay, we do that. But we need to back up our thoughts. We need to back them up with, okay, that's what you're thinking, but what is the reality? And when I say the reality is, it's from the Word of God. And even if we're talking about it on a religious basis, it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God says. And I'll be the first one to say it. If I say something and I can't back it up with Scripture, that might be the first clue. If you hear things out there on the TV or on the radio or you visit somewhere in the area and they're talking about stuff and it sounds really good, great. But if they can't back it up with God's Word, that should be our first clue. Amen. Who said that this morning? Do I hear an amen? Is that Dr. Dean? Do I hear an amen? Okay. So look, let's look at Rav Shaul this morning for a few minutes. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, you know, he took Timothy under his wing and he mentored him. And here's why he mentored him and he spent time with him, because he was preparing him for this calling that Timothy had, and it was a calling by the Lord. To serve the Lord, certainly, we're all called to do that. But there was this ministry calling that Timothy had, and Shaul saw it, and he realized it. And so he spent this time to minister and mentor Timothy. So let's look at 1 Timothy. We'll look at a couple of the verses here. This is what he says to Timothy, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babbling and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Well, I think by professing in some, it some have strayed concerning the faith." And then, "Grace be with you, amen," because this was, he was writing to Timothy. So he wrote it in a form really of a prayer and a hope for him. "O Timothy, stay focused." So we see this, "But you, O man of God." And then he said, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust." O Timothy, I paraphrase, stay focused. Guard what God has committed to you. Now, some translations will say, actually, "But as for you." But as for you. So, what Shaul is saying, Timothy, as a man of God, as a man of God, something different is expected for you. Oh, man of God, Timothy, listen, Something is expected because you are a man of God. So it's expected that you pursue righteousness. It's expected that you pursue God, that you pursue the faith and love and patience and gentleness. I'm not pointing a finger. I don't want to lay a burden on people. But the reality is, yes, there is certain amount of expectancy. There are certain things that we are expected for you to do, that I am expecting. There's certain things that it's expected that I do. Why? Because we have the understanding, we have the knowledge of Yeshua. We know who God is. We know who the Son is. We have accepted Him, most of us in here, in His life. We know the Word. We believe the Word is the Word of God. We believe the Bible. So it's expected of us. There should be a different standard with us and the people of the world. And so, as Shaul writes to Timothy, we should understand these things for our own lives. Staying focused. And it doesn't mean just involve avoiding certain things or avoiding certain situations. That is not necessarily but what being focused. It also means pursuing certain things in your life. Okay? Sometimes people want to avoid I want to avoid that, and I want to avoid this, and I'm going to stay away from that. But they're not. Where are they moving towards? What are they pursuing in their lives? Sometimes they are so involved with avoiding everything around themselves, but they're not doing anything good or positive, so to speak, in their life. And they just feel if they just avoid all these things, it'll be okay. If I'm doing the right thing because I'm avoiding all these things in my life. But what are you doing in your life on a good level, in a positive level, in an upward level, in a forward level? What are you doing? See, it's good to focus by avoiding, but we also need to look at the other side. We need to pursue. And that's certainly a part of focusing in all of our lives. It's not an easy task for each and every one of us, but it is an important one to keep focused. And in today's world, with our lives, with things around us, if you have kids, grandchildren, work situations, things going on, you hear what's going on in the news, it's hard sometimes to keep focus. It is. But we need to understand it is important for each and every one of us to stay focused and stay on that path. Let's not lose focus on what truly counts in our lives. And if we're not sure, we need to just sit down at home and take a few minutes and shut the TV off or shut the stereo off or shut the, God forbid, the computer down and the tablet off and the phone off and just sit there for a few minutes and try to figure out what truly counts in our lives? What should we be focusing on? You know, not, let me see, what should I be focusing on? This person just texted me. What should I be, Lord, what should I be focusing? Bling, ooh, wait, let me take that. I'll take that, Lord, and then I'll just go right back. We need to just shut things down sometimes. And try to decide what should we be truly focusing on, and then do it. There should be no more, as verse 20 said, no more profane chatter and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. That, you know, I spoke about this last week or the week before, where we need to have that discernment. Know what is really knowledge and what really isn't knowledge, because there's too much out there that sounds so great. But Shaul said, no more should we have the profane chatter and the contradictions, and there's false knowledge out there. Let's stay on focus. And let's start and keep living out our faith. Let's try to do it a little bit more each and every day. Stay focused. And stay focused, and it is so important. But it's not the only thing. But we need to stay focused about our future, about the end result, about the target, about the goal. We should stay focused on that while we run. You know, Shaul said to run the good race. We should be looking at that target, looking at that end result, looking at that finish line as we run the good race, because it will help us run a good race. And so we should do this looking at our future and do it through the promises of God. If we're not really sure what are those promises, let's just pick up the book and start reading it. But God has given us all these wonderful promises. Let's not take our eye off the finish line. Focus, 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 focus. And while we're here to there, let's run that good, good race. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask that you'll help us all, give us all just that extra measure of focus in our lives, to focus in on you and your goodness and your Son and your salvation and eternity as we run this race each and every day. We praise you, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua, amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.